Since the criminal charges were filed against the Attorney General, I have said she should step down. What I cannot say is that the Senate should remove her. There's a difference between what she should do and what we may do. The action we may take today to remove the Attorney General from her office flies in the face of the law, the facts, and every Senate precedent. Most members generally know how they're going to vote before debate begins anyway, and I don't want to waste time in pointless argument. But for those still considering whether we should vote to remove the Attorney General, and particularly for the public watching today, and for the public and senators of the future who will wonder why we did what we will end up having done, here's why it should not be to have voted to remove the Attorney General. First, this isn't just an extraordinary step. I am at a loss for words to describe how important this is, how extraordinary this action may be. But perhaps this may be the most extraordinary action any of us will take as being a senator. It's so extraordinary that the last time the Senate tried it, the West was still considered the frontier, women did not have the right to vote, and Ellis Island had not even received one immigrant. It's so extraordinary that, although it applies to every official elected in Pennsylvania, except for the Senate and House, members of the Senate and House, judges, and the governor and lieutenant governors, a number that since its adoption in 1874 could possibly include millions of people, because some of those people might be school board members, they would be row officers, they would be county officers or municipal officers. It could be millions of people. Despite that, it has only been attempted 5 times and successfully only 3 times. But it's most extraordinary because we're attempting to do it today in direct contradiction of every criteria the Senate has previously required for it. A little history is important here, I think, Mr. President. The 3 previous cases where it was used to remove an elected official involved a judge, a sheriff, and a magistrate between 1885 and 1891. In each of those cases, the officer was someone with an incurable mental or physical condition that for a long time, many months, had prevented the functions of their office from being performed to the general detriment of the public. Those Senates that considered their cases, Mr. President, were Senates well within the living memory of the persons who actually drafted the language we're acting under. I believe, in fact, that it may have even included some of them who had helped to draft it. And those Senates considered each of those 3 elements, the failure in official functions, the injury to the public as a result, and the cause being incurable, to be critical to using this provision. Mr. President, the special committee did not hear or receive evidence to conclusively, and I'll underline that word and emphasize it, to conclusively establish all 3 of those elements. And in fact, it did not hear or receive evidence to establish any of those elements. The evidence heard or received by the committee established clearly that all of the functions of the Attorney General's office are being performed and have been every day since the Attorney General's license was suspended. Concerns even suggested with regard to potential legal challenges have since been disproven. The only evidence heard or received by the committee regarding the impact of the illness, in this case, the suspension, is that it is simply not clear whether an emergency suspension disqualifies the Attorney General for her post. It is important to note that the suspension facing the Attorney General is one based on allegations she has not yet had the chance to even respond to and that have not yet been determined to even be valid. It's certainly conceivably that when that would happen, the suspension will be lifted either because the grounds for it have been disproved or possibly because the interim suspension itself might be determined to have been sufficient sanction for any improper conduct the court would determine the AG, the Attorney General, committed. However, as it stands right now, none of this is resolved, so all of it is entirely speculative and nothing more than that. And never has the Senate accepted, nor was it ever suggested in the drafting of this provision, that mere speculation alone could justify removing an elected officer. It is simply not appropriate at this time to take this action. I strongly suggest and urge, Mr. President, that to do so now would properly be considered a great outrage against the right of voters to elect candidates of their choice. That basically would mean a Senate supermajority of a single party could negate election outcomes pretty much on their own whim. Little could be more damaging to democratic processes than that. Finally, Mr. President, I have not yet addressed the two cases which the Senate previously rejected. They are similar or remarkable, not for their differences from this case, but for their obvious similarities. In those cases, still 125 years ago, two state-level officers, the Treasurer and Auditor General, were subjected to the proceedings of a Senate with a Republican majority based on their alleged criminal conduct. That Senate Republican majority concluded that the removal process could not be applied where the underlying grounds were criminal because the process of impeachment was available and intended for such circumstances. That's exactly where we are today, Mr. President. In fact, the House already has initiated the proceedings that could lead to impeachment. Mr. President, I'm a layperson. I am not a lawyer or a legal scholar. But I urge the members to follow this law as it was understood by those so close to it and prove that we are, as is so often claimed, a nation of laws, not of men and women. I particularly urge those members who claim to support the concept of original intent in interpreting constitutional language to prove it by their vote here. And finally, Mr. President, this is an election year, and I know that some members are being advised to keep that in mind in considering their vote today. I think that's sound advice. I think so because the very principles of democracy are at stake, with the right of Pennsylvanians, rather than majorities in the Senate, to choose whether to keep or throw out elected officials. The only reasonable vote, Mr. President, on the facts, on the law, and on principle is one that rejects this motion. Thank you.